Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're gonna get hard.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, we'll get to the Astros and the rest of the Big Three real quick. This breaking news coming across in the NFL. Sources to Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network that the Miami Dolphins are placing quarterback Tua Tagovailoa on the injured reserve in order to give him ample time to progress through the stages of concussion protocol and meet with outside neurologists. The earliest Tua could return is week 8 against the Cardinals, but the Dolphins are committed to placing no timeline on him as he works through the deliberate process and eventual return to play. It came out this weekend, Clint, that he was not going to retire, and no plans on retiring, and now he is on IL and could be back in week 8. This makes the most sense. Do you think we see him back in week 8?
If he doesn't want to retire, yeah, I think we see him back. I mean, at the end of the day, I just don't know why or how the guy would want to come back. I mean, if you're talking about a guy that's made over 90 some odd million dollars, I believe, and if you count the injury settlement in the contract, I think it's upwards of between 70 and 90 million dollars. Any way you slice it, it's more than enough to be set for life. If you got any kind of sense, you would turn that 70 into a lot more. You'd have the ability to do it. You played the game at the college level, and won championships. You played the game at the highest level and shown that you can go out there and be one of the most productive quarterbacks and lead one of the most productive offenses in the game. Chasing a Super Bowl, chasing, you know, a 5, 6, 7, 8 more years of a career, to me, over. You know, what could like change, like literally change your life instantly if you get hit again? I'm out on it, man. I hope he doesn't play again. If it sounds like he's made the decision that he is, and if that's the case, then yeah, I think we'll probably see him week 8. Look, let's be honest. I don't think there's going to be any. I'm not a concussion specialist, but if he was able to clear protocol and go through all the testing and get back on the field after what we've seen him go through in terms of head trauma, there ain't no doubt about it. In a 6-week span, he'll be able to do it again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think he's back out there as soon as they let him back out there.
He went home that night. He went home on his own that night, which I mean, was a good sign to hear, like to understand where he was, that he was able to drive and go home by himself. But I'm with you on that. Real quick, guys, you think this? You think the Dolphins are able to hang on to ever however long he is out? And if he, like, let's say he comes back week 8, like they say he's eligible to come back. Skylar Thompson looks like he's going to be the guy right now. You think they're able to hang on and keep themselves in it, in playoff contention, with Tua out for at least 4 games, at least 4 weeks until week 8?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That would be 6 weeks, though, before week 8.
6 weeks.
Absolutely. Look at their schedule. I mean, they got Seattle, Tennessee, New England, Indianapolis, Arizona, Buffalo, Los Angeles. Yeah, I think they can win some of those games and stay at least in stay respectable with Skylar. I mean, it's crazy that Skylar Thompson is their backup quarterback, given knowingly coming into a season with a guy that one hit to the head.
They like him. He started a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously they like him, but in my mind, Skylar Thompson is just some, especially a team that's as quarterback dependent as him. You know, you look at the old Titans where you turn around and you hand that thing to Derrick Henry, early and often. That's a little different. You know, you just need somebody that can drive the ship. But I mean, you're going to ask that guy to go in there and sling it around the park. And that's Skylar Thompson.
The only thing is, Mike McDaniel, I think, is a guy that can at least maybe get the best out of what Skylar could get.
Yeah,
but
they're not going to win Super Bowl. I mean, they're not going to stay relevant doing that. I mean, if they've got to change, the point is they've got to change their offense. I mean, this is, Skylar Thompson is not a guy that's going to go in there and throw the football with the timing and the accuracy that Tua did. I mean, Skylar Thompson has never been that elite of a passer, if you will. And their offense is at its best when they are a fast break offense and their quarterback can deliver the ball like in a special fashion in terms of early, on time, seeing windows quicker than most guys do it, anticipating throws. And I just don't know that Skylar Thompson is a guy that can do that and win ball games. Can he give you a nice little 6-game stretch and create some plays with his legs and do some different? Sure. Can Mike McDaniel do some things offensively to kind of protect him? Yeah. But I don't know what that looks like. What are they, 1-1 right now?
They're 1-1. They're going to need their defense to really step up.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to
to help them through. Yeah.
You got a 6-game run here that's not too terribly difficult, but you do have the Rams on there. You do have Buffalo in there. Arizona's throwing around the park and scoring points. New England is playing better than we thought. Seattle's no slouch. So, can he split those games? Can he maybe get 4 of the next 6? Sure. But is it going to be a brand of football where he has to play beyond 6, I'd be tough.
Yeah, if Tua's coming back, if he could just keep him in it, like, that's going to be the call.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Fly ball, right field. Tatis waiting, backpedaling. Padres win. They hold on to beat the Astros in game 1 of the series, a 3-1 victory over Houston.
All right, Spencer Urquidy gets the loss. Obviously, you know, they only scored 3 runs, the Padres did. And, you know, that's not obviously crazy, you know, at all. But it was one of those games where Spencer spent a lot of bullets to get through 5 innings. Right? Like, he's over 100 pitches through 5 innings. Again, like you said, I don't think he had a bad night. Obviously, to me, this was another game where, you know, he labored. He had to throw a lot of pitches, obviously, and had to and couldn't get through 5, but, you know, 5 innings, and, you know, he had base runners trafficked route with 8 hits. But again, you know, we'll see if he's not, you know, slowing down, if his arm's not getting tired. These are games just like the last one where he went, you know, into the 7th inning and didn't have his great stuff, but was able to kind of minimize the damage. 3 runs to a playoff team in San Diego on the road. Like, I don't mind that. I still think right now for I think a lot of people, Clinton, I think you still right now at this point, Spencer is ahead of Verlander in the pecking order of who may get a postseason start.
Yeah, I need to see more. I need to see more from Verlander. I mean, look, 5 innings, 5 innings, and and two runs. Yeah, I mean, look, they swung the bat well. There were some hits, obviously. That's a good baseball team in the San Diego Padres. So they're going to swing it well. But you give me a start versus one of the better teams in the league and a good hitting ball club. You give me five innings, two runs. On a night when you clearly, again, like you said, you didn't have your best stuff. The ball was beat around the park a little bit. I'll take that. I'll take that every day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah. So, there goes your boy Tay-Tay giving up a run again there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder how much he's going to be throwing in these. And that's cool because what they've done, I don't – and when, you know, some of the guys out of the rotation, I don't know how many high-leverage situations Taylor Scott's going to be in. Because they'll have a lot of firepower in the back of that bullpen, but we'll see if they can get a win tonight as they try to make up things here in San Diego. Right now, they have a 4-game lead. Seattle didn't play yesterday, so they pick up a half a game on the Astros again. That meeting, that final one with Seattle coming up on the 23rd. That's next week. We'll see what they're able to do and what the lead is there. That's just the thing to monitor right now. I think they're fine, and I think there is probably preparation for the postseason, but that's the thing is to monitor, is not to let that thing get away so that series is any closer than it needs to be. So that is the latest here. The Astros, they lose 3-1. I love their lineup. I hope they run it out there again today. We'll see, but they'll try to even things up with the Padres.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, the Eagles, they lose last night, Clint, in a crazy, crazy game. As we said, it was well over 90% probability rate that the Eagles would win that game late in the fourth quarter. The turning point that led to it was a rollout pass that was incomplete, and Saquon Barkley, as he said after the game, said he let his whole team down. But I can deal with that. Hey, you didn't execute all the way. Everything was executed until he dropped the ball. To me, the bigger story with the Eagles is, what was that in terms of two minute defense with Vic Fangio and that unit? That was way too easy for them to go down and score like that.
Yeah,
that was, to me, the bigger thing.
Look, the Saquon Barkley drop, it happens, man. Trust it. Take it from me. I've dropped one before, and hell, I had two hands on it and was carrying it. So I wasn't even tasked with catching the ball.
And I call it again. It was a play that...
Absolutely. It was a beautiful call. I mean, now, you know, one may argue that, hey, I would have gone for it on fourth down. It was already a 3-point lead. Six points really doesn't... I mean, obviously, it forces him to have to score a touchdown. So there's some value there. Could you have gone for it? Did you feel good enough going for it? And if you scored a touchdown, you put the game out of reach, possibly. Okay. But at the end of the day, you called a great play on third and three. Barkley drops a football and you don't get it done. You kick the field goal, you force them into they have to score a touchdown, and then your defense goes into what appears to be a prevent mode. And
that was it.
And the interesting thing about the defense, they allowed a long completion over the middle of the field, and they allowed a couple of long completions on the sideline. Like, are you going to defend the middle of the field and not the sidelines, or are you going to defend the sidelines and force them to throw it to the middle of the field? Hell, you're doing both. You're not doing either, actually. I mean, you're letting them throw it anywhere they want to. So, interesting approach by Fangio's defense in that last drive, no doubt. When you fire an offensive and defensive coordinator in the offseason, you bring guys in, you expect a fix. That was a rough look right there by Fangio, no doubt.
Yeah, it just – that team is just – they're so talented over there. But you could just feel that something ain't right, and it does feel like it comes, just not last night, but overall every day, something isn't right, and it does feel like it comes from the head coach. It seems like it does come from whatever is going on with Nick Sirianni. I think there are probably a lot of players that just don't respect him or think he knows what he's doing, and just kind of move on past it. And you mentioned it earlier, when it's the quarterback. That's the toughest kind of thing to kind of get together.
But yeah, I think it's safe to say that the head coach and the quarterback don't jive, don't really get along, if you will. And I don't know. I have no inside information, by the way. I think it's pretty obvious. I think that's those stories have leaked that they hadn't always been on great terms, and so I do. When I watch them play, I do sense that.
Yeah. No, I do. I do as well. All right, one more real quick before we get out. We didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Sorry about this, Tyler. But the Texas Longhorns in the AP poll.
What are you doing, man? This is the Big Three, not the Big Four.
Well, actually, Tua was just kind of a breaking news deal here. I don't want to make sure we get this.
I'm just messing.
We didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Texas has jumped over Georgia after Georgia had that weird game in Lexington. I mean, I thought that was going to be an ass kicking the way that South Carolina did Kentucky in and that's 13-12 down there. But Texas jumps over, and Arch Manning got into the game, and Clint 9-12, 223, 5 touchdowns, including a long touchdown run. He had 53 yards rushing. They jump over him. They have looked really, really good. And then it didn't seem like they slowed much down when Quinn went out and Arch Manning came in.
Oh, they sped up when that happened. There ain't no doubt about it. I mean, look, it was a big, big day for Texas. You think losing your quarterback would be a terrible day, but you found out for sure. I mean, I think the Arch Manning hype train is probably a little bit premature based on what we've seen from him at the college level. But he got in there and quickly proved that the hype was real. And I mean, his first pass was a touchdown. He continued on through four touchdowns, and the run for a touchdown was impressive. So, he's going to get another start this week, by the way, I believe, against Louisiana Monroe, which is another team where Texas is going to have a huge advantage.
Well, he can look real good.
Absolutely. It is going to be interesting. The one thing you can say about Texas is their quarterback room is very healthy. The future of Texas Longhorn football appears to be very, very bright after Quinn Ewers. We'll see exactly how this thing is handled, when Quinn can get back, and how Sark handles that quarterback.
You get any sense or belief that Quinn is in trouble?
No.
Like, you don't think there's much that Arch can do?
No, I don't. I think you got a lot of grown folks in the room speaking when it comes to the Arch Manning situation. I think there is a strong understanding. It's why he didn't leave in the preseason. I think there's a strong understanding of, hey, what's best for you is to sit behind Quinn Ewers, who's going to be a early draft pick, who's a really good quarterback. You're going to take over a program. It's a top five program. You're going to be in year three. You're going to know the system like the back of your hand. If you do it right, which he has, by the way, I think the reaction, the biggest statement of all Saturday evening was the reaction of his teammates after he threw touchdowns and ran touchdowns. Clearly, they love this dude. Clearly, there's some leadership qualities there. So I just think there's an understanding. You got some real adults in a room talking about this kid's future. And I think Sark, I think the Manning family, I think he's probably mature beyond his years. And I think there's an understanding of, hey, your time is going to come. It's just not in 2024 unless there's a season-ending injury. And I think that probably holds water when Quinn Ewers comes back.
All right. There's something I think with the Texans we need to keep an eye on. We need to keep an eye on, and maybe Clint may not think it's that big of a deal, but I think it's something that at least worth a discussion. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, listen, I don't know. I don't think this is a big deal or anything at this point, but I do think it's something to keep our eye on.
Hold on, Joe.
Tron, have you noticed this? Have you noticed that, Nico Collins, we talked about it earlier. Dude is a legit number one. He by 52 yards as of yesterday leads the NFL in passing yards. He has been a beast. Have you noticed that what seems like they're having a more difficult time getting the ball to Diggs and Tank? Is that something when you're watching the game, or you know, like Tankdale, it is clear. It feels like the only way they can get him the ball is in some sort of gadget situation right now. And that is reverses, running the ball with him. He had the one in the middle of the field where I think he didn't have his feet underneath him on a scramble drill and didn't catch a ball that hit him in the hands. Unfortunate. But I mean, he had one catch for negative 3 yards. That's why Tyler was buying Mad Dog.
Damn it.
Like, it's 2 weeks in, but has it been noticeable to you that it doesn't seem like Diggs and Tank, and I know Diggs had the 2 touchdown catches, but still, like, he's at 37 yards on Sunday against the Bears, and he was in the 30s again against the Colts, which is now matching what he was doing towards the end of the year. Are you surprised, or have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously notice it, yeah. But if you watch the games, I'm not surprised at all. They were running it so well in the first game that they would have been crazy to put it in the air, at least in an effort to get somebody catches. And you got 3 guys, not enough balls to go around. Nico was getting plenty. And then this last week, he couldn't protect. And so, you know, you look at Nico's his production, at least half of it was in scramble-type situations. And so it's not surprising that they have not, they don't have enough balls to go around on days where CJ's going to throw it 40 times, much less when, and I'm talking about in a good clean pocket, much less when they can't protect and they're really struggling offensively. So I'm not surprised that 2 of the 3 top receivers in this league have not seen as much action as one might expect given how these games have played out.
Yeah. We knew someone was probably going to kind of suffer with how many touches they're getting. But I'm just looking, I'm like, boy, it is really noticeable with Tank. Like, it seems like they are struggling to find ways to get him the ball. And he has turned into a gadget guy. Like, it almost to a point where they ought to let him return punts. Because that's, I think, a better way that they can allow him to get the ball in his hands. And as I said, I know that D'Amico has said there aren't any number one receivers here. There are 3 guys, whoever's open. Well, it's like,
yeah,
it seemed like 12 be the one that's open all the time. So to me, it's just he's thrown the ball nearly 70 times in these 2 games, and these guys are 33 yards. 37 yards for Diggs in the first 2 games and -3 for Tank at 40. There, we'll see. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just drawing coverage. I know you'll watch the All-22 and you watch it first time against the Colts. Maybe they're just drawing coverage and they're leaving him. I would like to see potentially them almost force the hand. Like, hey, bang out a screen. Do something to get the ball in those guys' hands. And it's just odd because what we've known about both of them, Clint, is even with Nico, those 2 guys can uncover so quick in their pass.
Well, routes. Nico's done from an uncover in a scramble scenario. Nico's done exactly what I think Tank would have done better than anybody. And what he did do better than anybody last year was find those voids and really be a big play guy in those situations for C.J. Stroud. And so this year, that guy, let's be honest, a good bit of what Nico has done the first 2 weeks has been in the scramble drill, being that guy that C.J. somehow finds. And so if you really look at it, I think by design, which is why I keep leaning into, like, this is a resume builder for Nico, because we had, like I said, Tank was that guy before. Now he's going up and making plays in double coverage. He's making great catches on the sideline. He's had 2 already this year. Nico has become that guy. So it is interesting. We'll see. I think they're going to have a tough time keeping all 3 of these guys happy. I agree with you. And I think we even talked about it earlier in the year. At some point, I would love to see Tank Dell become one of the featured return guys on this team.
Well, especially now, if how many times how many handoffs? Does he got more handoffs than catches? Does he have more rushes than receptions this year? He might have more rushes. They tried to get him involved in the run game a good 3 or 4 times.
Well, look, if you can run the outside zone effectively the way they did in the first half, the only way that you keep it going is if you slow down flow, and a great way to do that is to hand that thing on some kind of misdirection to Tank Dell. And so that's going to be, as long as the outside zone, which it didn't work as well in week 2, but when it's working, Tank Dell and some level of misdirection is going to be a big play. And so I think you saying Tank Dell is kind of been become a gadget guy, I think is probably fair. I think that's the way that they're going to have to get him touches on schedule and in rhythm.
He's got 5 carries and 4 receptions.
There you go.
On the season. Yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. She loves that someone said Tank should automatically be the kick and punt return guy. I didn't think you really wanted to risk, you know, injury there. But God, if the only way you're able to get him the ball is through carries and not as much in the passing game, he is a major weapon that can make big plays that you want to get involved.
Yeah, the interesting part is like Robert Woods returned the first kick for the Texans last week. Robert Woods.
I don't understand that.
So, I mean, it's interesting that you see so many different guys back there. And I think at some point in time, I think Tank Dell is – if you're going to go – and, again, I'm okay with Tank Dell being a gadget guy given the current setup. I don't think he is –
Is that how you envisioned it? Did you
– No, I don't think he is a gadget guy in their mind. He's playing receiver a lot. It's just the way these two games have played out, there's not a lot of opportunity – in rhythm and on time in the first two games. Just had, and again, they ran the ball well and they couldn't protect. Those are two rough games. And you did what you had to do and Nico got it done. But we haven't seen this offense. We haven't seen C.J. Stroud's A game yet. We haven't seen this offense hitting on all cylinders yet. And I think that'll be more indicative of where Tank slots in on this offense right now. But yeah, look, I mean, if there's the thing about the gadget receiver is, are you just a gadget receiver and that's the only time you're on the field, or are you on the field all the time and they use you to do those things? I think right now Tank is a guy that's on the field a big percentage of the time as a true wide receiver, and he happens to be a guy that can do and is comfortable doing the different gadget stuff. So I like the way they're using him. Just I think these two games played out in a little bit of a funky fashion for everybody to get the touches they typically will get.
I imagine that there's going to be more of a concerted effort maybe this week to at least, if not both of them, to get those guys involved. Right? To get those two guys involved, because, you know, I mean, that is, you know, it was the big three, and right now it's really been the big one, and the targets are low. Like, hey, Stephon, welcome in.
Yeah,
you ain't getting... We knew you weren't getting them targets, but damn.
The pass game is yet to be unleashed. It's yet to be hitting on all cylinders. They hadn't even played two quarters of like, hey, let's spin it around the park. And last week's first half is really the only half where there was like good situation scenarios to throw the football around. They did it well.
Yeah. All right, coming up, early returns on something that I think was one of the biggest concerns for this team. We'll discuss where they are with that now, coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Text line, Ron, that's a great question. Hell yeah!
What happened?
Gotta take those good ones when you get it. Ron, that's a great question. I can't wait to hear Clint's review of the All-22. I can't see it. Why is Nico able to consistently get open and Tank is MIA? So I can't wait till you watch. Can't wait till you see what's going on in the...
I'm checking right now. The All-22 has dropped. It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday. All right.
The All-22 has dropped, ladies and gentlemen.
Some film stuff on that thing. I bet you Clint will come back and see, he's been open a few times. They just couldn't protect, or he just maybe wasn't the first read.
Yeah,
I think it would be hard to believe that all of a sudden, like, the ability he showed to uncover, to run the routes he ran last year and to start this year, I don't believe he's lost it. But something's happened, because the targets, everything is down. But I'd be interested to see what you see when you do watch that All-22.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's at the end of the day, the targets are going to be down. I can tell you that they ran the damn thing 40 plus times in the first game. and couldn't protect in the second game. So I mean, it's when your quarterback is getting sacked and getting pressured and scrambling to one side of the field getting cut in half. I mean, you can't. I mean, at that point, it's just whoever uncovers whatever white jersey opened up last week on those scrambles. He's getting it to that dude. That's So the in rhythm stuff is just, that's why it's so surprising. Not so surprising. That's why it's different, I guess, with Nico this year, is because typically that guy that was catching everything in rhythm and was more of like the first read in a progression was Nico. And now the other guys were benefit from it as well, right? I mean, Bobby Slowick didn't. I mean, he was good for all of them. But the uncover late guy, the get to late in the progression guy was Tank, man, and he was money in that. So you're just not able to get to Tank the same way in these first two games as you did in most of the season last year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll hear about it. But yeah, Tank and Diggs, I'm sure it'll pick up. I'm sure we'll have weeks where they do what Nico has done as well. Speaking of other areas, there were some areas that we had some concerns about. Kamari Lassiter was an area that we had some concerns about. Looks pretty good so far. Interior offensive line, especially with the young guys, I think a mixed bag, right? Juice got injured the second game, played pretty well the first game. Kenyon Green played pretty well the first game, struggled a bit the second game. But one place, Clint, in particular, that I think we had some real concerns and wonders about was that interior defensive line. We talked to D'Amico about it. I know you and I both had questions, concerns. What will it look like in the run game with these two? They've done pretty well at this point. The interior defensive line, I would say, has obviously not been an issue. I think through two games they've given up 33 carries. The opposing teams have, with running backs, 33 carries, and they've only given up 75 yards in the two games. I mean, Swift was just horrible in this last game, and they've also gotten three sacks when the guys on the edges kind of force the quarterbacks to step up in the pocket. So I think one of the biggest concerns through two games right now has been a huge success up to this point. The interior guys and Foley and Edwards and Tim Settle and Davis and that crew.
Yeah, look, they have played above board, no question about it. They have played above expectations to this point. Now, look, my opinion of the situation is that the Colts are pissed off today because they didn't run it downhill. They got away from that run for some reason inside. I think they would have had more success. And then this last week, you played an awful offensive line in the Chicago Bears. Whether they were pass protecting or they're trying to run the football, they ain't been worth a damn in either. So I do think that caveat matters, but you can only play who you play. And when it's all said and done, this defense in the middle, the guys in the middle have been just as good as the guys coming off the ends in terms of stopping the run and in terms of rushing the passer. And so what we've seen so far, it's been a solid group.
And your guy, and we had Travis Trapp on with us, Travis Johnson on with us, and he was talking about Mario Edwards. You've been talking about him when you saw him at camp. That may be one of the guys that's the unsung hero, Clint, that maybe we didn't know was going to have that big of an impact. He got another sack in the game against the Bears, and he's been pretty good up the middle. He's been a big, big part of this thing, and we'll see what happens as they get D'Nico Autry in the mix coming up in about 4 weeks. They have held their own, and he has been a big major part of it. I don't know what did he say. He said he thought he could get double digit sacks. We'll see.
Yeah,
see what happens there if he has those opportunities. But no, you were on him early too. He's been really, really good.
Yeah, no. Look, he's been a pleasant surprise, because even with D'Nico Autry, you worry about the team's ability to stop them. I don't worry about this team against leaky offensive lines, against offenses that don't really have an identity, against quarterbacks that obviously have no answers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For pressure, like this team is going to appear, and I don't know how many they're going to win or lose, but they're going to be a better football team, significantly better football team than some of the duds that are on their schedule. And I expect them to play big-time football, and they have across the board against two lesser opponents at this point in time. And so even with Danico Autry, you still worry about, because my bar for the Texans is when I'm talking about weaknesses on a defense or, you know, question marks about a player, I'm not referring to just generally speaking. I think this team is going to be a better football team than most. When I talk Texans at this point, the bar is simple. It is Super Bowl caliber teams. When I watch this team, do I see a team that I believe can stop the run against the Baltimore Ravens? Can they stop the run, against the top tier teams in this league as it pertains to running the ball? And I'm not there yet. They've been good. Again, yep. You can only play the schedule that you have. They've been good. But I'm not ready internally. I hadn't seen enough of a good running football team to just run the thing downhill consistently and see,
yeah, it's just,
see
from
if
what
you
they
bottle them up
from who they've had in front of them. Like there is, I mean, they're like, yeah, you said it. The Colts may have had some moments where Jonathan Taylor look like maybe he's building up to it. But still, the way it turned out is, like, they've whoever's been in front of these two, they've shut down.
Yeah.
Not just stopped a little bit. I mean, they've shut down 18. What, 14 carries, 18 yards, man. That is just awful.
That's Swift you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, man. That is just, you know, the quarterbacks have been the guys that have been able to rush, you know, against them. So, yeah, man, give them some love. Shout out to them.
So far, so good, man.
So far, so good. Keep it up, man. Keep it up. Clint or Tyler, did you enjoy that roof open? That's the first time I had experienced it. I walked a little bit because I'm not gonna lie to you. From the press box, I can't tell. Press box, it didn't look. It didn't at night. It didn't look anything different. But then you walk out a little bit, and you could see. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, aesthetically, I loved it. I could have gone either way. I would have been fine if it was closed, but I'm also very fine that it was open because aesthetically, I like it a lot more. It looks a lot cooler, especially with the flyover and the fireworks at the end, all that.
Yeah,
but it's a little steamy.
Was it a little warm?
It was a little bit.
What was it, about 80, 85, 86?
It wasn't anything you couldn't tolerate, but it definitely wasn't that normal NRG air conditioning that you're feeling when that roof's closed. So I could have gone either way, but I was fine with it.
What would be your temperature mark? Because I like to the point you were making, the stuff you're saying, all the videos that came out, especially the overhead shots, as you said, like the fireworks coming off the top, like that. Like I'm in it for that. What would be the temperature, the mark you'd say if it's this, then we can roll with it.
Well, to be honest, the real 80? Problem is the humidity, but yes, I'd go, if I'm picking a number, I'd go below 80.
Below 80?
Yes.
So set like 75?
Sure.
As 75 long
as
what?
As long as this degrees, humidity like, isn't at 99%.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would be the temperature mark that you would say that, say, yeah, like open up the roof?
The temp outside?
Yeah, the outside temp, because Tyler said it was a little muggy.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, the photographers and everything, they drank every bit of the water and everything in that workroom, so it was hotter than hell on that field. They were worked up about it. The thing that gets me, the night game, I wouldn't care. The night games, the day games, and if I'm not in direct sunlight, I don't give a damn. I really don't care how hot it is. Like I don't that, but sitting there with that sun beating on you, and one of them seats where one of them panels are busted, or if it's open, obviously sitting in seats where the sun's banging on you, yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
what
just
like,
sitting there baking in one of them seats, nah.
Like if we roll in here and it's, you know, October, November, and it's a smooth 70, 72, 75, let that roof open. That's the first time I've experienced NRG with the roof open, and I've gone to almost every one of these home games.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, from the press box, we don't even, tell.
Couldn't even tell. But when I walked out, I'm like, oh, I like this. It's a good look. Saw the photos and stuff. I thought it was a strong look. I enjoyed it. All right, as we continue, Clint, what you got? What you got coming up in the 4 o'clock?
Hey, Texas and Texas A&M, their quarterback situations made a lot of noise this weekend. Made a lot of noise this weekend in a major, major way. And what a super weak moment. Super weak moment by one of the Philadelphia Eagles superstars. I'll tell you exactly who that is, and we will discuss it all. How about a little college football, y'all? We'll do that next.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.